Minnesota spends millions of dollars every year fighting aquatic invasive species, like zebra mussels and starry stonewort, the kinds of plants and animals that are changing the lakes the state is known for. In 2014, the legislature set aside $10 million a year to distribute directly to counties fighting the spread of invasives. It was a brand new approach. The money came with very few strings and very little accountability, but that was on purpose. The idea was to give counties flexibility to be creative. And so far, they have been. It's prompted a lot of activity, but is it protecting Minnesota's waters? Dan Gunderson hit the road in northern Minnesota's lakes country to see what counties are doing with that money.
The first stop is Itasca County, county seat Grand Rapids. It's a popular tourist destination with hundreds of lakes. The county gets about $650,000 a year from the state to fight aquatic invasives.
It's hugely effective, getting the money to the grassroots.
Bill Granches is Itasca County's aquatic invasive species coordinator. He likes the flexibility of local officials deciding how to spend the money.
It's huge because every county is different. I mean, what works in a metro area might not necessarily apply here.
Like most counties that get this money, Itasca spends much of it paying inspectors who check boats leaving or entering lakes. But today I'm riding along as Granches shows off the part of the program he's most proud of, the Early Detection Rapid Response Team. They scout lakes looking for invasive species and react quickly if they find a new infestation. Two team members in swim trunks and goggles push a canoe into Spider Lake, about 40 minutes north of Grand Rapids. About 20 feet offshore, they start diving while Granches watches from the dock.
They are free diving, looking for flowering rush.
Flowering rush is an invasive plant likely brought to this lake by a boat. It can spread quickly, creating thick masses that cover fish spawning beds and choke out native plants. It was found here 4 years ago. The rapid response team started removing it immediately. The divers pull a dozen plants from the lake bottom and dump them in a canoe. Last year they filled half a canoe. Next year, it's possible flowering rush will be gone from this lake.
It's all about early detection and rapid response. It's a critical component of what we do here in Itasca County.
90 minutes down the road from Grand Rapids, I stop in Brainerd in Crow Wing County, another place with popular lakes like the Whitefish Chain that draw thousands of people.
I'm Jake Free. I'm the Environmental Services Supervisor here in the Crow Wing County Land Services Department.
As I sit down, Free is rebooting his computer. He needs it because this part of the story is about data. Like most counties, Crow Wing spends a big chunk of the $450,000 it gets in state aid each year on watercraft inspectors. But the county has 102 public boat landings and about 40 inspectors. So how do you get those inspectors in the right spot to catch a boat carrying zebra mussels or starry stonewort? Free thinks data is the answer.
So this is the first year we've said we're going to take that actual data and say, what are we getting at?
The county tracks boat traffic and past inspections and takes into account which lakes have invasive species and which are the most popular with boaters. Each public landing is assigned a risk level and staffed accordingly.
The first couple of years we said, I'm pretty sure people use this landing a lot. And now we've finally had the data to say, not only do we think, but we know.
Data also helps explain when people ask, why aren't inspectors at my lake? Some counties still try to rotate inspectors to every lake, but many are using some form of data-driven risk analysis to be more efficient.
Oh, I need a cup of coffee.
The last stop on this tour of Lakes Country is Walker, a bustling tourist town on the shores of Leech Lake. Rima Smith-Keprios runs the Aquatic Invasive Species Program for Cass County, managing just over $500,000 a year. The first year it got funding, the county hired watercraft inspectors, retired truck drivers, construction workers, students, and Smith-Keprios realized they needed more support than what they'd gotten from state-mandated DNR training.
And that first year, I mean, the inspectors were calling me every 15 minutes with either, you know, I want to kill this person at this access, or I'm pretty sure I found a zebra mussel. You know, my phone was blowing up.
So she created a two-day training workshop, bringing in experts on basic lake ecology and customer service. She says it helped create more confident inspectors. Several are now in their fourth summer reminding boaters to check for attached invasive species and pull the drain plug on the bottom of their boats.
You know, it's not something they ever were involved in or even thought about in the past, and now they're just like, I'm at the gas station and I see a boat and I'm thinking, oh my God, that guy's got his plug in, you know? It's like, you got to stop yourself from, you know, doing inspections.
Smith Caprio says that passion comes from local people who care about their local environment and now feel empowered to protect it. 83 counties get money from the state to help combat aquatic invasives. Nearly half of that money goes to 10 of those counties. We just visited three of them. With few requirements attached to that aid, each county is free to craft its own efforts. But the $10 million question remains, is all that creative effort making a difference?
It's really hard to determine if the work you're doing is really having an impact on the spread of invasive species.
Phil Hunsicker is a DNR aquatic invasive species planner who works with counties here in the northern half of the state. His job is to support the counties, not tell them how to spend the money. He's working with counties to track success stories.
You know, this stuff is moving around. Is it moving around slower? Are we having an impact? We think we are, but how do you capture that information? We're not really sure, and we're kind of learning as we go along.
Because lawmakers didn't require annual reports when they started giving money to counties, it's all voluntary. But Hunsicker thinks data and success stories will be helpful when at some point state lawmakers ask, what are we getting for that $10 million? Crow Wing County Commissioner Paul Teedy thinks counties are making a difference, especially educating boaters about AIS. But Teedy, who's on a committee that advises the DNR on the issue, worries that as counties take a more visible role in fighting invasive species, they might also be asked to pay more of the cost. Managing invasive species is a state responsibility, and Teedy worries about what would happen if the legislature were to someday take away the county aid. And will $10 million be enough in the future?
It's an issue that is a bottomless pit. No matter how much money you put into it, the list of potential invasive species is much longer than the ones we currently have.
Check out how that $10 million is being distributed around the state and learn more about the invasive species in Minnesota's waters at nprnews.org. Covering the environment, Dan Gunderson, Minnesota Public Radio News, on the road in northern Minnesota.